Could you start by telling us about when you decided to move to Sweden?
The whole story started back in 2001. At that time, I was a medical student at the university in Heraklion in Crete. I come from Greece. I took the opportunity and came to Sweden as an exchange student. Why Sweden? That was actually chance. Sweden was the only one that could accept students who were speaking English and not Swedish.
Was this like an Erasmus
Yes,
exchange? Or,
yes,
okay, wow.
yes.
So you started off as an exchange student in
Yes,
Sweden.
yeah. So I came here, I was here for a whole term. It was fall term. So the first taste was this splendid Swedish autumn and then winter. But it was then that I got the idea. I liked it here and I said to myself, why not try come here and work after my graduation?
And what did you like about Sweden back then?
First of all, if we look at how things are, living here, I thought that there was much more order and tidiness and things were calm. And my reference is Larissa, which is my hometown in Greece, which is a quite large town, but not as busy as Athens, but still. And then Heraklion, which is maybe equally large, but quite more chaotic. I like that the tempo was a bit slower, that people were respecting rules and regulations, and that you don't just do things out of your head, but you actually consider your fellow citizens.
And you were in Stockholm back
I was in
then.
Stockholm back then. And then at the hospital, that was, let's say, the greatest positive shock. I was grown, with a mentality where at each clinic you have the professor, then you have the consultants, then you have the residents, and then on the bottom of the food chain comes the students. And you have to show your respect, you have to maybe do all the work, whatever is asked, you have to do. But when I came here and saw how, the attitude is here between students and staff working at a clinic, regardless if they are nurses or doctors, a senior consultant or a resident or a professor with 30 years of experience, it didn't matter. You could sit with them, you could have lunch, you could have breakfast, you could have a cup of coffee, talk about things at the clinic, patients, or things about life in general. And that was very striking because I remember I thought, this is how you earn respect. You don't need to demand it just because you have a title. Or you
Yeah,
are.
you earn it instead, like you said. To me, it sounds like you're describing a more flat organization than what you were used to.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And so now you're still working at a hospital,
Yes.
and do you have the same idea of this still?
Actually, yes. From time to time, I remember myself being a bit surprised because people coming from other parts of Sweden thought that my hospital, I'm currently working at Karolinska, which is supposed to be still in Swedish terms quite hierarchical. They thought that things were very stiff, let's say. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Maybe visit another country
Yes,
sometime.
exactly.
So that was when you were an exchange student. But when did you end up actually moving here?
I went back to Heraklion. I was done with my studies summer 2003. Actually, when I went back, me and my classmate, we were two students here at the same time. We both started having private lessons, Swedish lessons, in Crete, with a Swedish-speaking lady that was married to a Greek. Anyway, so the interest was there, and when I graduated, there's something called, let's call it, an internship between graduation and finding a position for residence. So I did that in my hometown. And my plan was to stay with my parents, save some money in order to be able to have at least, you know, the my economy was taken care of if I was supposed to come here and look for for job.
Yeah, so you had a little money to support yourself in the beginning.
Yeah. So the decision was made, well, let's say somewhere between 2004 and 2005 when I was doing this internship back home. I started looking for a job sometime middle of 2005 before finishing my internship.
So you've been here for like 15 years.
14 years.
14 years.
Actually, yeah, yesterday, 9th of January.
Wow. Congratulations on your anniversary.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so when you actually made the move, you already had some experience from Sweden as an exchange student.
Yes.
And you were prepared and you studied Swedish even in Greece a little bit.
Yes.
But can you tell us something that was different about moving here than what you expected?
To be honest, I feel that I've been quite lucky in quite many aspects. What I always have as a reference is stories that I've heard from my friends who are also colleagues, and they have also come to Sweden to find work. I know that you know, finding, for example, a place to stay is quite difficult, but for me it went quite smoothly because at first I had an apartment arranged by Karolinska Institute. What I found difficult was actually to learn Swedish.
And then you knew a little Swedish coming here.
You know, I had these private lessons when I was in Crete, but then there was a quite large gap. And I continued mostly just by reading newspaper and trying to enrich my vocabulary. But you know, if you don't practice, you're a bit more or less stable. My first job here was as a PhD student, so it was not as a medical doctor.
So you could work in English.
I could work in English.
I see.
But that made things even more difficult
because
when I started attending courses in Swedish, in the lab where I was working, the environment was of course international, but I had Swedish lab mates, and I was trying to convince them that when no one else is around, I would really like to speak in Swedish.
Yeah.
But that has been a pain in the neck. Because, you know, Swedes, they are so polite. If you make mistakes, they don't want to tell you.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to switch to English.
They want to speak English a lot of the time.
Yes, on top of that. I think this has been like one of the difficulties I have I have met.
On the topic of expectations, did you expect Swedish to come a little more natural or easier in the beginning?
I don't think I had any expectations about that, but I wouldn't think it would be that hard to have this kind of practice with Swedes here.
Yeah, it makes sense that you thought that people would speak Swedish to you in Sweden.
if we agree that you talk to me in Swedish when no one else non-Swedish speaking is around, I thought that it would be okay.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
So what happened? I mean, I've heard you speak Swedish. We were speaking Swedish before the interview. And I mean, you're excellent. If I would just hear your Swedish, I wouldn't even know that you learned it as an adult. So you might as well come from Sweden, as far as I could tell. So how did you reach that level of Swedish?
Well, first of all, it was courses. I took some courses in the beginning. But most of it has come through daily like exercise. Actually speaking the language. I was telling my supervisor we could have meetings in Swedish. At some point I was a little bit involved even in the clinic. So I started reading patient journal and so forth. So then it became, you know, gradually more natural.
Yeah. So you actively put yourself in situations where you would speak Swedish or use Swedish.
Yeah.
Do you wish there was something that you would have known before so you could better prepare yourself?
Another difficulty, which it had to do with actually finding a job, even as a PhD student.
Mm.
This is something that with my knowledge now, I think I would have done different if I was in the same situation today.
Mm. Could you go into that a little deeper?
Yeah. Because first, when I was in Greece, I started sending emails. And the first attempt was to find work as a resident.
Mm.
So I was sending mails to different clinics.
Mm.
And it was in English. No one answered.
Mm.
Then I said, okay, residency doesn't work. There is something similar to the Greek internship, even in Sweden, which was not necessary for me since I had my license to practice medicine.
Yeah.
But I said, I don't mind. I could start there. Maybe that's a better start so that I can easily go in the, you know, the Swedish system, get more accustomed to it and so forth. And when I sent emails for that, it was either no answer or I got an answer saying that I was overqualified.
Mm. Frustrating.
Yeah. Then I had another classmate. He was a year older than me at the university.
Mm.
He had also been an exchange student. And at that time, he was a PhD student. So I said, maybe I could do like Theo did and find a PhD position. Maybe that could be a way in the system.
Mm.
So I started mailing group leaders at KI. Today, I'm like, what was I thinking?
Why do you say that?
Because still, there was either no answers. Because this was, you know, I was mailing professors.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they're busy. They might be getting 100 mails like that.
Yeah.
Most of the times, maybe they have people already, you know, people that know people that they have, you know, thoughts about maybe getting them to work in their lab or in their group as researchers.
And usually... I mean, this might have been different back then, but usually today, if you apply for a PhD position, it's advertised as any job.
Yes.
And you apply to it as you would apply to any job with a CV and a formal application and everything.
But at that time, I was not just applying for formally announced positions, but I was also just sending, you know, when you express your interest about seeking,
What possibilities could be out there? Wanted to let them know that you were here and
exactly,
ready to work.
Exactly. So there was no response on that front either. So when my internship was finished in Greece, I came to Stockholm for a couple of weeks and knocked on doors, literally.
Really?
Yeah. Which, you know, in hindsight, I also doubt a little. What was I thinking? Because it didn't work.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then came, you know, a bit of luck there. And this is how I found my PhD position in the long run. But, you know, this whole process back then was a bit, you know, disappointing.
Mm.
I was thinking, oh, why aren't they replying? Just telling me, you know, no, we're not interested, or no, we don't have any position.
Mm.
Of course, now I know. Because if you are a professor having to take care of, I don't know, 20 PhD students in the lab, and you get 100 emails like that every day, obviously you cannot reply to all of them.
But that was impossible for you to know back then. Oh.
Yeah.
So you tried out these strategies and they didn't really work.
Yeah.
So if you were in the same situation today, would you just not do those things, or did you find a different strategy that actually worked?
I would probably maybe ask more people around group leaders and see how
does
I
it work?
Yeah, how does it work?
And at departments today at universities, there's always a study advisor who will know about the process of these things. Let's move back to the present time.
Yes.
What's your favorite thing about Sweden?
Still, my favorite thing is that there is, you know, order in how things work. You know, daily, maybe trivial things, coming in contact with a bank or with a public authority, I have a sense that they are much more simpler than my first home in Greece. It's maybe just a call or an email.
You know which steps to take.
Yes, yes. Which, okay, now I've been away from Greece for quite a long while, but, you know, my parents are there, and I have a brother there, and I have friends, so I still have a picture of how things work. Maybe they are a bit better than they were back in 2004 or 5, but I think that the difference is still huge. You know, with the years here, I have come to the this insight that we have a very ideal picture of Sweden and other Nordic or Western European countries back in Greece, that everything is perfect and everything works perfect. I have come to this insight that, look, it's not perfect, it's much better. There still are problems, but some things are solved long time ago. Things that we're still fighting with in Greece.
It sounds like, of course, you've been here for so long, so it's no surprise, but it sounds like you're really, really getting into the Swedish culture, because I want to relate to what you said earlier about working at a hospital here and finding that the organization is flat and that there's not a hierarchy in the same way as you expected to that there would be, or maybe if you compare it to other countries. And then a Swedish person comes to the same hospital and says, oh my God, there's so much hierarchy here, I can't believe it. And I think the same thing, you say that it's so easy getting in touch with the bank and authorities. Whereas if you would ask a Swedish person, I'm sure a lot of people would say, oh, it's impossible to get in touch with them and they're not accessible and so on. And even if something works well, like you said, things can always be improved and you can't stop looking at, okay, what's not working and what could be working better and how can we make it even more accessible? So you told us about when you were looking for a job and you knocked on doors and you sent a few emails that you wouldn't have sent today. Have you made any other mistakes here in Sweden that you can share with us?
Back at that time when I was actually knocking doors, I wasn't actually prepared for sitting at an interview like I think I should be. I don't know why it never crossed my mind, but you know, I, at one occasion, one of these professors actually opened their door.
Oh wow!
And I sat and talked to her, and I got questions which today I know are very typical for an interview, which back then I was just looking at her with my mouth open and I was like, what does she mean?
Yeah.
How would I know what I want to do in 5 years' time? Yes, that would also be something I would do differently.
Yeah, to actually prepare yourself for the person letting you in and starting to ask you questions.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I was better prepared next time when I had another interview.
Yeah. Do you think it's very different going to an interview here in Sweden than in Greece, for instance?
You know what? I haven't been on an interview in Greece. Yeah.
Then of course you weren't prepared for them to ask you where you would be in 5 years.
It was my first experience here. But I don't remember. Why didn't I ask someone? Why did never, you know, this question come up? To ask someone that maybe had been on an interview, you know, how did it go? What should I be careful of, and how should I prepare myself? I don't know.
My next question is if you have any advice for someone who wants to move here today in 2020, for someone who's sitting in some other country thinking, I want to move to Sweden. Maybe, for instance, a doctor.
Yeah.
What would you tell them? What's your best advice?
Have patience. My experience is that I haven't had that much problem in communicating and coming a little closer with people. That's also another stereotype we have in Greece, that, you know, Northerners are a bit stiff and not talk that much and not open that much and cold and so forth, which I've also realized that it's not true, at least not always. Not all Swedes or Germans are cold and rigid and so forth. I haven't had so much of that kind of difficulty. I think the difficulties have been more practical. I know, for example, housing is a problem. Language, of course, if you're coming here temporarily, yes, English can do the work. But I think that if you plan to move to Sweden and stay here for a few years at least, it will always, you know, pay back if you know the language.
It definitely opens a lot of doors.
Yeah.
When you mention the language part, in combination with patience, it's also a way of what perspective you have when you think about learning a whole new language, a very small language that you've never been exposed to before. And learning any language as an adult, of course, is usually a little difficult. But if it's a small language, you haven't been exposed to it previously. I mean, basically, people learn this whole language and are able to have a functioning life and work in Swedish in sometimes in just 2 or 3 years. For me, that's amazing. But of course, when you come here, if you expect to be fluent after 1 year, 3 years feels like an eternity. But I agree with you, if you have a little patience with this and actually put down the effort, it's gonna enrich in your life. Open doors for you. And for instance, being a doctor today, you actually need a certain level of Swedish to get your license here in Sweden. Of course.
And as you said, I know I have friends that were more or less forced to learn Swedish much faster because they came directly in the market. They started working, so they had no option. Better or worse to do it like that, I admire them. They made it. And I know they had, you know, quite tough time in the beginning.
If you're forced into it, maybe you have a lot of negative feelings connected with the language.
Of course.
Which is a shame.
Yeah.
So advice, be patient, and learning the language is a very good investment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So before moving to Sweden, maybe a good idea could be to kind of do a draft of a timeline. Okay, how much time do I think that I will need to find a job, find a place to live, and get started with my Swedish lessons, and then maybe even speak Swedish.
Just
so you have this idea before coming here.
Exactly, yeah.
Manage your expectations. I think that's what it's called.
Exactly.
Do you know the term smultronställe?
Oh, that's a new one.
I'm testing your Swedish now. So this is just a term to describe like a hidden gem, a place that's special to you, but that not a lot of people know about. Like, it's not one of the main tourist attractions, but like a special little place. And you're usually not supposed to tell anyone, but I'm asking you anyways, if you have a place like this in Sweden.
At the north side of Södermalm.
Here in Stockholm?
Yes, here in Stockholm, close to Skanstull.
Yes.
There's a little alley on the rocks where you can walk. And especially in the summer, spring, summer, everything is green. There's a little kindergarten along this alley. And then there's a little park. And actually, the view from that point is fantastic. You have the old town. You have Stockholm downtown in front of you. And then you see how the metro goes back and forth.
Maria Berget. Maria Berget! That's a perfect hidden gem. I remember, I think I found out about this place when I was maybe 26 or 27.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so even for Stockholmers,
okay.
I would say that it's a place that not everyone visits or even knows about because it's behind the big streets.
Yes,
and
yes.
So you can't really see it if you don't know about it.
Someone has to tell you about it.
Exactly.
It is there.
So. And that's the perfect definition of a smultronställe.
Great.
Someone usually needs to tell you about it.
Perfect.
Do you have a favorite Swedish word?
I have come to love lagom.
Really? Yeah, that's a popular word.
Yeah.
But it's also always you love it or you hate it.
Yeah. Mm. No, you know, there's the same, not a proverb, but an expression mm-hmm. from ancient Greek.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Everything in measure or with measure.
Yeah. Like moderation?
In moderation,
something like that.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Greek we have this ancient Greek expression,
yeah.
but in Swedish you actually managed to say that with just one word.
Mm. And I guess our expression would be lagom är bäst.
Yeah, yeah.
This is something we can say.
Yeah.
How would you translate lagom? How would you describe the meaning?
Not too little, not too much.
Exactly. Exactly, and you can apply this word to situations,
mm.
maybe even to people, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
To food, experiences.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. Yes, exactly.
Lagom är bäst.
Mm.
Do you agree that lagom is best?
Yes, yeah.
What's your favorite Swedish food?
Jonssons frestelse.
That's my favorite too. Jansson's frestelse is kind of like a potato gratin.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we put Christmas spices in it.
Yes.
And I guess it's sardines.
Sardines.
Mm. I love it too. Mm. It's a weird flavor, right? Or the taste is very unique,
mm.
I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
But Jansson's frestelse, that's, I'm impressed.
Mm.
You're really turning into a proper Swede. We have a Spotify list. I add Swedish music to it every week. Do you have any song that we could add?
You know which one I listened to on repeat back in 2001?
No, which one?
Ruta 1 by Patrick Isaksson.
That was when you were an exchange student.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Do you have anything that you would like to add before we end the interview?
14 years later, I'm still here and things have shown that my decision was right.
Mm.
I know I have a few friends that after maybe 1 or 2 years they went back to Greece, but I think if you're looking for, you know, a place to stay where everything a country to live where everything is working and flows smoothly,
mm.
and people are respecting each other and life is quite calm and not very, you know, noisy or stressy.
Mm.
I think Sweden is an ideal
mm.
place to be.
Mm.
Of course, there are difficulties apart from the ones we have already mentioned. I actually forgot to mention the weather
mm.
factor.
Mm.
But this is also something very individual and very subjective.
Mm.
You know, be prepared that yes, winters are dark
mm.
and cold, and maybe cold you can handle, but you also need to handle darkness.
Yeah.
But you know, you get repaid in the summer when everything is
that's true.
Never lighter.
See darkness, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. But I have a couple of friends that could not stand it.
Mm.
Neither the light 12 or 16 hours a day
mm.
or the darkness
mm.
and this can be quite different depending on, you know, where you come from, what you have as reference, what
of
you're
course.
Used to
mm.
It can be quite difficult to get used to
mm.
otherwise I think Sweden is perfect. At least, you know, give it a try
mm.
and see if it works
mm. Great, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.